Hey there, welcome to today's episode of Verity Vitamins. My name is Benjamin Pace, and we have just started a new series recently entitled Red Light, Green Light. And what I had on my heart to talk about in this series is being led by the Holy Spirit, and specifically how to follow the witness of the Holy Spirit. Now, if that seems foreign to you, I'm going to read a scripture here in just a minute and to explain exactly what I mean by that. But something I wanted to mention just in the beginning of this is my original thought and plan was that I would spend a few weeks on this and then move on to something else. I've done series in this segment of the podcast quite a bit, and a lot of times they've gone longer than I've expected them to go, because once you get on a subject, you realize there's a lot more to it than what you thought. And, you know, obviously you can't exhaust every subject. But in this particular subject that we're getting into, I've actually had a real burden on my heart for it for some time. And I feel like we really need to spend some time on it. And in seeking the Lord and praying over it, I feel like we're supposed to kind of open the road up a little bit. What I mean by that, I feel like we need to spend a few weeks on this subject. And so I'm kind of clearing out the calendar for this, and we're just going to kind of slow down and take our time and not get in a hurry to get away from this series, because I feel like we need to spend some time talking about this subject, talking about being led by the Spirit. So we're just slowing things down. We're just taking it easy, and we're just going to spend some time focusing on studying what the Bible has to say about being led by the Spirit. Something I'll say is that, you know, this is not a subject that I hear widely preached. Now, I understand you may hear that a lot about different subjects. Again, I said this is not a subject that I have heard widely preached. I'm not saying it's not preached. I'm not saying it's not talked about. I'm saying I haven't heard it widely preached. And now, in some of the circles that I have been in, I heard it. And especially the church that I go to and some of the surrounding friends and family, if you will, of that, you know, not denomination, that church, you hear that talked about some. But even amongst the people that I've kind of grown up in the Lord around, I've kind of almost started to hear a de-emphasis on being led by the Spirit. And what I mean by that is not doing away with it and not saying it doesn't matter or you shouldn't do it, but almost we need to be led, but, you know, we don't want to be too extreme with that. And we don't want to be extreme with anything in the sense of getting off into one ditch or another with things, and anything can become imbalanced. But I feel like we need to not have a de-emphasis on being led by the Spirit. I feel like we need to put a re-emphasis on being led by the Spirit. And this has been coming up in my heart more and more. You know, a lot of people still have the mentality that, you know, God's in control of everything, and that, you know, what God wants done will be done. And we, you know, we kind of just have to surrender to His mysterious will. And a lot of people don't think that they have as much responsibility in what happens in their life and doesn't happen in their life. And even when it comes to God's divine protection, it's so true that God protects us and keeps us, and will do that. But at the same time, it's foolish to think that we don't have any part in that. That we just kind of say, Jesus, take the wheel. Well, that doesn't work when you're driving. You know, I mean, you know, saying Jesus, take the wheel. Well, I'm not coming against anybody, you understand, but just addressing that mindset. You know, what if you said that while you were actually driving? You know, what if you said, Jesus, take the wheel while you were actually driving? What would happen? Well, if you don't steer your car, you're going to crash. You know, you got to steer. Now, the Lord will help you and he'll keep you and he'll protect you. But do you have a part to play? You know, yes, the Lord can help keep you away from a car wreck and help you avoid a car wreck. And he will and wants to do that. But does that mean I have no responsibility in that? Does that mean I don't need to stay off my phone and look at the road? You know, does that mean I don't need to pay attention? No, I do. And there's a reason why you need to have a driver's license to drive. If it was just all up to God, then we wouldn't need a driver's license. Say, Jesus, take the wheel. Now, I understand they're coming out with cars that are starting to drive themselves, but, you know, we'll get into all that right now. But a lot of people know very clearly, I can't expect the Lord to steer my natural car. But people have had that mentality when it comes to their life and said, well, I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to steer here. I'm just going to let the Lord take over and do things. I'm going to let the Lord make things happen in my life. Well, there's a reality and a truth in not trying to make things happen and letting them happen. But that also has to do with being yielded to the Holy Spirit and being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Because a lot of times, that's just an excuse for laziness. And yes, absolutely, we don't want to try to force things to happen and force doors open that are not open and try to you know, take something that is not ours or make something happen that shouldn't happen. And we do need to learn to live yielded to the Holy Spirit. But that's actually what we're talking about. Being yielded to the Holy Spirit is being led by the Holy Spirit. And being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And God's not going to force you to do things. He's not going to take you over and say, you sit in the back seat and I'll drive. No, he will guide you. You know, you're still in the driver's seat of your life, but the Holy Spirit is our GPS. He will let you know where to go if you listen, if you'll acknowledge him. Let me go ahead and read some scripture about this. In Romans 8:14, it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So this is where this phrase witness comes from. The Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit. This is actually kind of a picture of a courtroom setting where you've got a testimony or you've got something that is being presented in court and there's a joint witness to confirm that. And so the witness of the Holy Spirit is God's spirit on the inside bearing witness, giving testimony with our spirit about something. And specifically, it's about the fact that we are the children of God. But he said those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. So there's a connection between the family of God and being led by God. There's a connection by having a revelation that you're in the family of God, that you're a child of God, and learning to be led by the Spirit of God. And he said, you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. This is the spirit that we call dad, that we call father. It's familiar to our spirit, but we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. We have not received that spirit. So one thing we know that is not being led by the Spirit is bondage and fear. And this is what I meant when I said we don't want to get off into extremes. What some people call being led by the Spirit is actually bondage and fear. And anytime you see that, that's not being led by the Spirit. That's getting away from being led by the Spirit. We have not received that Spirit, but we have received the Spirit of adoption, the spirit of our Father talking to us. And this is how we're led by the Spirit, is we get a revelation of what it means to be in the family of God. And God's leadings remind us that we have a Father that is directing us, that is correcting us, that is guiding us. Look at this in Proverbs 3, verse 5. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path." Now, this is something I want to get into for a few minutes, and we'll continue to talk about this as this goes along. But God directs my path when I acknowledge him. When I say, "Lord, what do you think about this?" When I inquire of him, when I invite him into the situation. And a lot of people think that God is automatically going to take a place that he has not been given. This is kind of a side note, but I saw something yesterday about somebody saying, make Jesus the Lord of your life. And somebody else was saying, that's not right. You don't make Jesus the Lord of your life. He's already the Lord of your life, and you acknowledge him as Lord of your life. Well, the funny thing about that is that really you're not contradicting each other. That's kind of just being nitpicky about terms. No, I'm not making God God by receiving him, but I am making him Lord in my life, because he's not going to take that place. Yes, he is God and he is Lord, but that doesn't make him my Lord if I don't acknowledge him. Because if he was my Lord automatically, then, let me say it this way. If he's already everybody's Lord, then why would they be lost? Now, there is coming a time when the Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. And we do acknowledge him as Lord. We do acknowledge his lordship over our life. But trying to split hairs about that and criticize one person for saying, make him the Lord of your life, and saying, well, no, he's already Lord of your life. No, he's not. He's not automatically Lord of your life unless you acknowledge him. And yes, by acknowledging his lordship, I'm humbling myself and I'm admitting, yes, you are God. But God is not automatically taking that place in people's life. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door, I'll come in and dine with him." He's not taking that place of lordship in your life. Yes, he's God. But the Bible also calls Satan the god of this world. And Jesus told some of the most religious people of his time that they were of their father, the devil. And there's many people that have chosen Satan as their Lord. Some people knowingly, some people unknowingly. And so, yes, there's coming a time when every knee and it shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, including the demons. But that doesn't mean somebody has made God Lord in their life. And yes, it is up to us to acknowledge him, to give him that place in our life. And there's coming a time when the enemy will be done away with and everybody who chose him will go with him. And that shows right there who they made their Lord. I mean, Jesus said in Matthew, you cannot serve God and mammon. You can't have two masters. No man can serve two masters. Well, why would he say that? Because you could serve another master if you chose to. I mean, Jesus was tempted with this by the enemy. He was tempted to serve another master. He was tempted to bow down and worship the enemy. Well, you have a choice to do that. And even though God is God and he's the creator, and ultimately, yes, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord, right now, people have a choice who they're going to make Lord in their life. People have a choice who they're going to allow to be the Lord of their life. And that's not going to happen automatically. We have to acknowledge him as Lord of our life. He said, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. So two things I want to just mention that acknowledging someone is based on is, number one, trust. You have to trust somebody to acknowledge them. And number two, it's honor. It's honor to acknowledge somebody. Now, just in the few minutes that I have left in this, we'll get more into this in the next episode. But, you know, your GPS, I mentioned this earlier, your GPS is available to you. And it can and will direct your path if you will acknowledge it. But if you don't acknowledge your GPS, if you decide, no, I got this, I know how to do this, I can navigate this on my own, well, will a GPS just automatically take over and come on and say, no, you will go this way? No, hey, if we did that, we'd have another iRobot situation. You understand? We don't want that. Well, we'd have to call Will Smith. We'd have a whole nother deal going on. No, it won't force that on you, and you have the option of silencing it. You can quench your GPS if you decide you want to do something different. And in the same way, God is not going to take a place in our life that he's not given. And there are some things that we must acknowledge him in order for him to direct our path. Now, I'm not making that up. That's what the scripture just said. If you'll acknowledge him in all your ways, he'll direct your path. If you'll honor him, if you'll ask him, he will lead you and he will guide you. And this is something that I think people misunderstand, is thinking that God is just going to automatically go out of his way to let you know things when you're not even acknowledging him. Now, don't misunderstand me. God will do everything he can to protect you. God will do everything he can to help you, especially if you're in a bad situation. Sometimes God will do things to get your attention. But at the same time, we've got a lot of people who are offended with God because they walked into a bad situation. But many people have been taught that no matter what, God's not going to let you do that. Well, God is going to do everything he can to help you and to lead you and to warn you about things. But if you don't ever acknowledge him, if you don't ever listen to him, if you don't ask him, does he have a right to come in and always speak to you about things? You have to actually honor him and acknowledge him about things. And there are times that, for instance, the city has red lights and green lights. We'll stick with the red light, green light metaphor. And you can come up to a red light and slow down and come to a stop, and then cars swing, you know, go by in the intersection, and you are protected. Why? Because you yielded. There it is. You were protected because you yielded to the red light. But how many know that you don't have to stop at a red light? You can choose to run that red light. And in the same way, you don't have to go at a green light. Sometimes people are on their phones and they're not paying attention and they're looking at the cat on the dumpster and you know, cars behind them start honking their horn. They're like, come on, let's go. Why? Because just because the light changed doesn't mean you yielded to it. And this is what we have to understand. Traffic lights are set in place for our protection, but we still have to yield to them. Traffic lights are set in place so that we won't have wrecks every day at intersections, but you have to yield to them. And how foolish would it be to see somebody run a red light and smash into another car and say, well, I just don't understand, why didn't the city protect them? Why didn't the city protect them? I just don't understand. Well, you see how foolish that is. No, the city put things in place to protect them. The city warned them, hey, don't go when it's red. But you can override that. We'll get more into this as the weeks go on. But I want to suffice it to say this today, if you'll acknowledge the Lord in all your ways, if you'll ask him, if you'll stop and look and listen as we were told when we were kids, then he will direct your path. God is inside of you if you're a believer, if you're a born-again child of God, and he desires to lead you, but you have to take time to acknowledge him.